A few weeks ago, former Philadelphia Eagles safety Malcolm Jenkins tweeted out this video.
To be clear, I want to play football. I think all my peers want to play football. It's how we make a living.
The NFL plans to start training camp next month, and the regular season is supposed to start on time. Jenkins, who's now with the Saints and is one of the leaders of the NFL Players Association, went on to say he's not convinced it's safe to play right now.
There's so much that we don't know at this point, but I know that the bar for the NFL is going to be high when it comes to creating a safe work environment and making it as safe as possible for guys to come back. As we keep in mind, it's not just about the athletes and their health or the coaches or staff, but our families too.
Turns out there's a lot of backstory to this Twitter video, one that involves power and money. Lots of money. I want to see the Eagles play this fall. I've missed watching the Phillies and Union this summer, and I'm still ticked off that I didn't get to see the Sixers and Flyers make deep playoff runs in the spring. But a lot of us fans are wondering why the professional leagues are adjusting to COVID-19 so differently, and why players in the NFL in particular are sounding the alarm. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. Ty Johnson co-hosts the Mike Missinelli Show, a major sports talk show in the area, on 97.5 The Fanatic. He also co-hosts the show Sixers Outsider on NBC Sports. Ty used to work with me here at WHYY, so when we wanted to talk about the effect of COVID on sports, I already knew who to turn to. I'm someone who, you know, I would say kind of follows sports in normal times, but I have to say that since the pandemic hit, I haven't looked at the sports page very much, partly because there hasn't been much going on recently, and there's just so much else going on. So just if you could take me up to speed on how the different leagues, are they on the same page when it comes to getting back up and running?
Every league is different. So the NBA, they're already there in their bubble in Disney World, for example, where the players have already been being tested daily for a couple of weeks now. They all arrived this past week in Disney, and then they were all tested again before they were able to begin practice.
What do you mean by bubble? Can you just describe what that means?
They're calling it the bubble.
They're actually going to be staying in three different hotels on the Disney complex.
But think of it as a camp, a basketball camp, with the biggest, fastest, baddest campers in the world.
Where they basically are allowed to talk to one another after an initial quarantine, and that's about it.
They won't dine in mess halls, but will have a dedicated Disney culinary team. Three meals a day, four on game day. They have personal trainers, but no pets.
They'll have different activities amongst themselves, but they won't be able to leave the hotel except to go to practice or to play games. Basically, from now all the way till October, the middle of October, for at least two teams, they're going to be in this, quote, bubble, isolated away from family. There will be a time where a certain number of family members, once they've been tested, are allowed to come, but that won't come for several weeks. So the NBA took it to really make it, if we're going to do this and do it safely, this is what we feel like we need to do. And the players, for the most part, over 90% of the players bought into that particular plan. The NHL, they just voted for one on Friday. They'll have two hub cities, one in Edmonton, one in Toronto. The Flyers, who are going to be in the playoffs, they are in Toronto. They'll do kind of the same thing. Well, they'll only see one another and opposing teams on game days, and they'll be able to just practice. And their families, I don't think, will be able to come to the bubble at any point for those particular guys. But that's what those leagues thought were necessary to be safe and keep everybody, you know, basically in isolation, where they have some freedom but very limited.
I should mention MLS, Major League Soccer, is actually the one league that is currently having games. They had their first game last week, right? Just describe what the MLS is doing.
MLS is doing a bubble-type situation in Disney, very similar. They've had some issues, though.
Breaking news in the last hour here. FC Dallas will not take part in the MLS's back tournament following the high number of positive tests of the coronavirus within the club.
Both the Dallas team and the Nashville team have both had to withdraw from this tournament because of positive COVID tests. that's the one issue with MLS so far, is two teams, upon entering the bubble, had to leave the bubble to keep that bubble mm-hmm. from bursting.
And so let's talk about baseball, because baseball is doing things very differently from all three of those leagues, the NBA, the NHL, and MLS. How is it going to work? They're going to start playing pretty soon, right?
They're supposed to start in 12 days, 12 days from when we record it. 60 games, limited schedules, limited travel, regular playoffs and wild cards, all normal. But
on the field, spitting and chewing tobacco are prohibited, but chewing gum is okay.
No spitting, no high fives. All of that's gone. All of that will be, quote, against.
How can you have baseball without spitting?
And what's funny is when you talk to baseball players, it used to be chewing tobacco and things like that were much more popular. That's much less popular. Players are healthier. Just there used to be players that would have a drink at halftime of basketball games.
Sure.
Those things don't happen. But the spitting, because baseball is a slower game and you have to concentrate for all those moments, a lot of them admit that it's almost a nervous energy thing. They do that to allow themselves to focus. Well, they're not allowed to do that. And you're going to see some players playing in mask, absolutely. But the tough part with baseball, and where it differs from the three sports that have already started, is they'll be able to go home every day and sleep in their own beds. Players will be asked to show up already in uniform and leave and perhaps shower at home. But for the most part, when the baseball players leave, it'll be business as usual, which is different than the other three sports that are playing currently.
So let's move on to the NFL then. Just give me an overview. How is the NFL approaching their season?
NFL is approaching the season as if there is no virus.
Are you ready for some football? The NFL says they are announcing they intend to start their season on time, with some contingency plans in place.
Eyewitness News, they've sent out some guidelines where they want players spread out for meetings and things like that. But unfortunately, to play football, there is only one way to do it. And you cannot make some of those adjustments. Also, the NFL has not conceded that there won't be fans. Now, many people, health experts, don't think that's realistic. But if you ask the NFL right now, they still believe that a limited number of fans will be allowed, perhaps a lottery system to allow them to come in. Will the Eagles? Probably not. And the reason I say probably not is the city comes out with the big edict that says no outdoor large advertised events until March of 2021. So through February 28, 2021. But then they come behind it and leave a caveat that things are quote unquote liquid in the city of Philadelphia. So I guess hypothetically, and in the state of Pennsylvania as well, which just got new guidances in a negative way regarding the virus as far as gathering of people. So in the case of the Philadelphia Eagles, if something changes with the virus, if the numbers got very, very low, there may be a way to have a very limited number of fans, but it looks like they most likely will not in Philadelphia, but in other cities, they absolutely will be allowed. All the teams have, they're going to block out with tarp the first six rows in all the NFL stadiums, and you'll see ads on TV to help recoup some of the revenue from lost fans. But as far as the NFL is concerned, they did their draft on time. They started their free agency on time. They plan to start training camp on time.
So I mean, spreading players out in particular just seems like, I don't know what that could possibly achieve. These are players who are going to be running into each other on the field. They're going to be sweating. I mean, you can't avoid contact in football. It's a full contact sport. So what is the point of that?
Well, your guess is as good as mine on that. This is an issue that has been troubling players. And this is, again, where the NFL has acted differently than previous sports. NFL training camps would start around July 30th. The NFL players don't have answers to that very question that you just asked. They don't have the answer, so I definitely don't have it. The players want to know, how often are we going to be tested? All they're hearing is frequently. So with all the sports, other than maybe baseball, there's really no way to truly distance. So that's where testing is so important. But we know in the NBA how often they'll be tested, which is daily. We know how often MLB players will be tested, which is at least close to daily, according to them. But the NFL, we only know frequently. So really, honestly, the NFL is doing the least to react to the virus up until this point, while the NBA, NHL, MLS have done the most so far.
Why have the different leagues approached returning to play so differently, do you think?
I think that the players and the owners have different relationships amongst one another.
More on that when we come back. This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I'm talking with Ty Johnson, co-host of the Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic and Sixers Outsiders on NBC Sports. Ty says the power of the players' union and the relationship with the owners are different among the various professional sports.
In the case of the NBA, their players' union and their ownership have a very good relationship, so they were able to collaborate and talk about a return to play that was both safe and profitable. And the same thing mostly applies for the NHL.
The NHL and its players' union are in agreement on a plan to complete the 2019-2020 season.
Where those players and that union and the owners also have a pretty good relationship and they're able to collaborate on a plan. Versus MLB.
The two sides remain more than $200 million apart on salaries and pooled postseason play.
And the NFL.
NFL players anticipate.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
That some of their peers simply won't feel comfortable returning to work at some point due to COVID-19 concerns. That's why players are pushing for clauses, opt-out clauses, in the new contract with the league about returning to work.
Basically, the owners told the union what was going to happen, and the union really didn't have any say whatsoever on what would happen. It was just up to the owners because they don't have a good relationship and they don't value a relationship with that players' union. So I think what you're seeing is collaboration has led to, so far, bubbles. Bubbles are expensive. So when you collaborate and a player says, I need this to be safe, if you care about that person, you might lay out some extra funds to make that happen. When you don't have a bubble, you save yourself a lot of money because you're not paying for any hotels. The players just go home and you're able to dictate to them what would happen. And you basically cross your fingers about the safety situation.
The NFL owners recently said they wanted to put in, a 35% pay freeze for players. Can you just describe what they proposed there?
Yes, they proposed a 35% for all the players to put 35% of their salaries in an escrow account to protect against the losses. And if for some reason the NFL didn't lose, the players would then hypothetically get that money back. The average career of an NFL player is only 3.5 years. So you're asking a player who basically to give up, when you say that, 10% of his career earnings to a bunch of guys with a lot of B's in front of their names, not M's for millionaires. No, these guys are all billionaires. And the players, they've already said they're not going to agree to that. And the owners can't really force that. That's going to be interesting going forward.
Have any players from local teams sort of spoken out about how they're upset about how their leagues are adapting to the virus or just reacted to it?
As far as really speaking out, you had a couple of Phillies who were skeptical. Bryce Harper has been all in, for example, for the Phillies, but Zach Wheeler, who has a pregnant wife, he spoke out and did not really like how the Major League Baseball was really approaching it because they didn't really have at the time, a protocol that he thought was safe that would protect his pregnant wife. Now it appears that he's happy with what they're doing right now, but there have been some rumblings on the Eagles. Malik Jackson, he plays defensive tackle for the Eagles. He talked about how the league, he said, treat us like people and not like dollar signs. Treat us like human beings, because he doesn't think the NFL has really had a protocol that keeps them safe.
As you mentioned, the players don't have a ton of power in this. Is that why we're seeing a lot of them taking to Twitter and trying to get the public on their side, do you think?
Absolutely, because people always look at the athlete and say, oh, they're overpaid. They get paid to play a game most times. But NFL players get looked at least a little bit differently. We see what happens after NFL careers very often, where they can't walk so well. They can't pick up their kids. They're still people. And most of them are not rich. For every Carson Wentz that we know about, you know, the Eagles starting quarterback, there's 20, 30, 40 of those guys who are far from rich and will never be rich. Yet they pay a tremendous physical toll. And I think that when you have a bunch of very, very rich people telling 32 players times 53, oh, shut up and just play, you'll be fine. That, I think, does resonate with people, and it's been wise for certain players to come forward. The question is going to be, though, can they actually do anything about it? Because in the past, no matter how much the players kick and scream, they always cave, again, because they have such a finite period to make that money. Again, a 3.5-year average career.
I know all the leagues have had some players who actually tested positive for coronavirus. What's been going on with the local teams? How many local players have tested positive, do you know?
The only one that we know for sure is Scott Kingery. His nickname is Jetpacks on the Phillies. He absolutely got COVID-19 down in Texas while he was training during the downtime before they started their summer training in the beginning of July. He said it put him right on his butt for a couple of weeks. And now just finally about 2 weeks behind his teammates, he was finally able to join the team because by protocol, you have to have a 14-day mandatory quarantine away from teammates once you test positive. And then you must have not one, but two consecutive negative tests before you're allowed to return to your team. And for that reason, he has apparently recovered and he's back with his team and he seems to be playing well so far in the limited time he's been there. But it knocked him on his butt and he told people, because he's a young 24, 25-year-old man who's in great shape. He's saying, take this seriously because not everybody's in as great a shape as him. He caught it. Now, there were a couple Sixers officials who also caught it early, but we never got names on them. Apparently, no Sixers players actually caught it.
Does it seem like what's happening with professional sports is sort of a reflection of what's going on in the country in that, you know, what we're seeing is corporations, companies eager to reopen. They're losing a lot of money right now. They want to recoup some of that. And then workers pushing back because they're worried about the health risks. In this case, that's the players. They're the ones on the field potentially taking on health risks. Seems like a sort of a parallel story.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And if there was national leadership that came down and said, this is the amount of risk we're okay with, this is the amount of risk we're not okay with, this is what we need to do. If there was a national call for unity as far as protocol, things would be going much better. But because there's not, you're just leaving it up to a bunch of people. And there's definitely a void in leadership when it regarding the virus.
Ty, it's really good to talk to you again. And thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. I miss you, man. And be well and be safe.
Ty Johnson is co-host of the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic and Sixers Outsiders on NBC Sports. The Y is produced by Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Sabrina Boyd-Circa, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. Stay safe, and we'll see you Monday.